Since last Sunday night, we talked about David and his prayer. Accosting God in prayer. In Faith Christian School at Chapels, I've had three opportunities to speak, and each time their theme this year is prayer. And so I have been speaking about prayer, and so we're going to look at prayer this morning. Now, I've got some pictures for you this morning as well, because when I teach children, they love to see the pictures. In fact, Friday morning I was teaching, and one little boy up front said, "Do you have any pictures of that?" Speaking about Elijah when he prayed for rain, and it poured. He wanted to see a picture of pouring rain, but I said, "Sorry, I don't have one of those on this lesson." So let's start with prayer this morning, shall we? Father, how we thank you for who you are, that you are God and there is no other, that you are creator and you are sustainer. Lord, you are the one who is in charge of all things. Nothing surprises you. Nothing happens by chance. And Lord, as we gather this morning, may we be encouraged to pray more often. May we be encouraged, Lord, to constantly call upon you in prayer. And Lord, I would know this week when I prayed for my daughter Esther, who is going through severe depression. There were lots of prayers going up from my mouth, Lord. Father, whether in good or what bad times, may we accost you in prayer and see thy mighty hand work. As we look at Elijah this morning, and then if we have time, look at Peter in what prison, just with the church praying. Father, help us to learn from these things. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, please turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 17, please. 1 Kings chapter 17. And I'll begin in verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years except at my word." And then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Get away from here and turn eastward, and will hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and what did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and what stayed at the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. Well, the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook, and it happened after a just while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Just arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and what dwell there. See, I have commanded a just widow there to provide for you." And so we see there's a drought coming. And with 3.5 years, we know that there's going to be no dew nor rain. He was at the brook Cherith, or what Cherith Brook, as with some translations put it. And with there, the Lord sends what ravens to feed him twice a day. Think about that. Bread and meat twice a day. By what ravens? Here's a picture for the kids in the back. Here's a picture. Now think about that. That's impossible, right? Not with God. Not with the Lord. He sent those what ravens. They were finding food, weren't they? God was providing for them, and he was providing there for Elijah also. And then, of course, the brook dries up. If there's no rain, things start to dry up there, and that's exactly just what is happening. And the Lord sends him to Zarephath, to a widow. Now, he's got to travel quite a ways there, doesn't he? Yeah, but the Lord provides along the way. He makes it to Zarephath. Yeah. And there, the widow makes him food. It is the last bit of food. But then what later, the widow's son becomes very sick. Look at verse 17, please, of 1 Kings 17. Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. And his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, "What have I done with you? Oh, man of God, have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son?" And so notice she's kind of blaming Elijah, but she thinks her son's going to die. And he said to her, give me your sons. So he took him out of her arms, and what carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and what laid him on his own bed. And then he cried out to the Lord and said, "Oh, Lord, my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by what killing her son?" And he stretched himself out on the child three times, and what cried out to the Lord and said, "Oh, Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him." Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and what brought him down from the upper room into the house, and what gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, just your son lives." And then the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth." Isn't it a good thing that God sent Elijah to the widow at just that time? I would just saw that now. It's like he's there at just the right moment. He is there. Oops, I just read that to you. And what notice, first of all, that she blamed him. Bringing my sin to remembrance. Or were you going to kill my son? But then Elijah cries out to the Lord. And not just once in what this scene. If you look at verse 20. And then he cried out to the Lord and said, "Oh, Lord, my God, Have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodged by killing her son? He cries out to the Lord. But he also, back up there. Verse 21 says, and he stretched out himself on the child three times. And then what, notice again, and cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him. There is he, Elijah, accosting God in prayer, seeking the Lord for this young boy, that his soul would come back to him. And he lays on him three times. And then notice verse 22. And then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. Answered prayer. Nearly instantaneous. Don't know how many minutes pass or even hours passed here. Doesn't tell us, but it appears to be a short period of time. God heard his prayer and what God answered. And now think about the mother. There's her son. Revived. Answered prayer. And appears to be her only son. And when she's a widow, that's all she's got. Answered prayer for her and for Elijah. We need to accost God in prayer. Next, Elijah prays, and what God answers by fire. Elijah challenges the prophets of Baal. Please turn with me to 1 Kings 18, verse 25, please. 1 Kings 18, verse 25. Excuse me. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. Elijah here, he has offered a challenge that the God who answers by fire, he is God. So he lets the 450 prophets of Baal do their thing. Offer your sacrifice. Call on your God. He lets them go first. All morning, all afternoon, they call upon God, their false god Baal. They even cut themselves so that they can yell louder to get Baal's attention. In fact, Elijah even mocks them. And still nothing. Their prayers go unanswered, unheard. Their false god, Baal, did not answer. Not a word, not a peep, not even a spark of fire. Nothing, nothing taking place. But now it's Elijah's turn. Let's see. That was... Verse 30, please. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him. And he prepared the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the 12 of the tribes of the sons of Jacob to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then with the stones he would built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold two seahs of seed. And he put wood on, in what order? Cut the bull in pieces and just laid it on the wood and said, fill four water pots with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Then he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar. And he also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the evening. At the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and what said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and what Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Verse 37, hear me, O Lord. Hear me, and that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and just consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. And so notice what has taken place. Yeah, he built that altar to the Lord. 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Whoops. And then he put the wood on it and he put the sacrifice on it. So he killed the bull and he put it in order. Oh, sorry. And then he digs a trench all around the altar. Then he covers it with water, saturates it. Covers it up with water. And then he calls upon the Lord. Elijah's only one man, right? He had 450 over here. One man and God. What a picture. One man and God. And Elijah calls upon the Lord. And God answers by fire. Look at verse 36 again. And it came to pass at the time of the evening of the offering of the evening sacrifice, so that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of what Abraham, Isaac, and what Jacob, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me. And notice that he asked God to hear. O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. And then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. And what notice? God answered by fire. It was a great big spark. And it consumed everything. Even the dust that was around this altar. All of the water, the stones, the sacrifice, the wood, it was consumed, devoured. Elijah prayed, God answered. You hear me, O Lord, hear me. And God did. God answered by fire. Now, James and John tried that once, didn't they? In what Sunday school just we just talked about James and John months ago. And they wanted to call down fire from heaven, just like Elijah. But their motives weren't right. Here, Elijah has the right motives. That they may know you are the Lord. Look at verse 39. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." And Elijah said to them, "Seize thee with prophets of Baal, and do not let one of them escape." So they seized them. And Elijah brought them down just to the brook Kishon and executed them there. And what notice, see what people said, "The Lord, He is God." Isn't that what Elijah wanted? That's exactly what he wanted, that they would know He is the Lord. Elijah prayed for that. And what God answered by fire. Next scene. Elijah prays for rain. Look at 1 Kings 18, verse 1. We're going to back up a little bit here. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go, present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth." Now, there had not been rain 3.5 years. But God said He's going to send rain. Elijah, go tell Ahab, it's coming. So, Elijah obeys the Lord. And he finds Ahab and he says, it's going to rain. Verses 42 of what, 1 Kings 18. So Ahab went to eat and would drink. And Elijah just went up to the top of a Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and would put his face between his knees. And there was a position of prayer there we see with Elijah. He would humble himself. And he got down on the ground and he prays. Even though God has said He's going to send rain, Elijah prays. And what said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." So he just went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And what, seven times he said, "Go again." Elijah sent that servant there seven times while he continued to pray. He's accosting God in prayer. God has said He's going to send rain. And Elijah's praying for it. And he didn't stop praying for it till it came. And then it came to pass, the seventh time, that he said, "There is a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising out of the sea." So he said, Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind.
Yeah.
And there was a heavy rain. And notice again, God heard his prayer. A heavy rain fell. If you read on what further, Ahab's chariot got stuck in the mud. Elijah beat him to the city, running through the mud. But God answered his prayer again. Three different prayers God heard of Elijah. He was a man of prayer. Yeah. Are you a person of prayer? Do you accost God in prayer? Now I'm going to skip to the next one here if I could find it. And so give me a second. And we're going to look at praying for others here. So please turn just with me to Acts chapter 12, please. Acts chapter 12, all right? So I'm going to jump to the New Testament here. Just we have looked at Elijah. And now let's look at the early church, okay? Acts chapter 12. And it begins with sad news for the early church. Look at verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. And then he killed what James, he was brother of a John, just with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded just further to seize Peter also. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread. And so just when he had arrested him, he put him in what prison? And what deliver him to four guards, four squads of with soldiers to keep him? In what tending to bring him before the people after Passover. And that word persecute there means to oppress, to afflict, to harm, or what to render evil. Herod wanted to destroy the church. And he killed James. And then he arrested Peter, and then he was going to deal with him after Passover. They were the two early leaders of the church. And so Herod got James first, and he killed him. But now it's Peter's turn. When he saw, so what did the early church do? One leader's dead. One leader's in prison. Did they scatter? Did they run away? Did they hide? Did they break up? No. Look at verse 5, please. So Peter was kept in what prison? But the church was, notice, earnestly praying to God for him. They were earnestly praying. That word earnestly means intent. They were praying for Peter intently. They were accosting God in prayer. It means without ceasing, fervent, stretched out. They were stretching themselves out in prayer. In fact, we'll see that they prayed, all night long. They gave up their sleep to pray for Peter. It was that important. They stayed together. They were accosting God in prayer for their brother, for their leader, Peter. All night they prayed. All night they stayed awake, purposely praying for Peter. They did not give up. They did not quit. Sometimes we pray for one thing and we would never pray about it again. But these people, they weren't that way. This night, they all prayed all night long. And then God answers. Acts chapter 12, verse 6, please. The night before Herod was to bring him to a trial, Peter was sleeping. And what notice, he was sleeping. Peter had the peace of God. Maybe it was because they were praying. Between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and with sentries stood guard at the entrance. Notice all the precautions Herod has taken. Poor Peter, he's chained to two guards and he's got guards at the gates. Yeah, Peter's not getting out of there, right? Wrong. Wrong. Because God sends an angel. As the what church prays, God sends an angel. Can God still do that today? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Look at verse 7. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared. And the light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and just woke him up. Quick! Get up, he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Boy, that's a miracle in itself, right? And there he is, chained. He doesn't have the key, but as he gets up, his chains just boop, slip right off his wrists. Fall to the ground. Ka-ching, right next to him, right? Didn't wake the guards up. Verse 8. Then the angel said to him, put on your clothes and with sandals. And what Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around you and what follow me. The angel told him. But you know, Peter thought he was dreaming in this scene. He didn't even think this was real. Verse 10. When they were past the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and just went down just one street. Yeah, and immediately the angel departed from him. And so there is Peter now standing in the street, probably looking around, and we're realizing it's not a dream. Now what do I do? Verse 11. And just when Peter had come to himself, he said, now I would know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of what Herod and from all the expectations of the Jewish people. And then Peter came to Mary's house, the mother of what John Mark, and he knocks on the door. Where did he go? to where he knew other Christians were. And they were still praying for him. They were still there that morning. They were still praying all night long, and they're still there doing the same thing, accosting God in prayer. Not giving up, not quitting, but still continuing in prayer. And has delivered me from the hand of Herod. Whoops, I think that went backwards, didn't it? No. Verse 13. Oh, hold on a minute. What happened there? Hold on. Yeah. I think I'm missing a slide. Yeah. And has delivered me from the hand of Herod. Okay. I would all. Okay. Verse 13 says this. Yes. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. And he says, "It's Peter." But she doesn't believe him. And she runs back in, tells the others, but they don't believe. Then they come out, and what? Sure enough, there's Peter, alive and what? Well, it isn't a ghost. It is the living Peter. Yeah, and he tells them just what took place. But verse 17, Boa mentioning to them just with his hand to keep silent, he would declare to them how the Lord had. He had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go, tell these things to James and to the brethren." And he would departed it and just went to another place. And what? Notice again, answered prayer. Answered prayer. The church was praying. Yes, and God answered. What a blessing to see that God hears our prayers. These people, they were focused on prayer. What about us? How often do we focus on prayer? Sometimes we get busy watching TV, playing video games, doing whatever. Do we seriously accost God in prayer? Praying for others? Praying for ourselves, praying for this church. We need to accost God in prayer. We saw today how God answered. Look at Elijah, the widow's son. Fire from heaven, rain. Then here, Acts chapter 12. God delivered Peter from certain death. Why? Because the church prayed. We need to pray for our nation, for salvation of others. Let's do that daily. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. For how you heard Elijah's prayer. Lord, you answered in just mighty ways with the widow's son. Just you brought his soul back. Which gives me the impression he was dead. Then with the prophets of Baal. You sent fire from heaven. One man praying. What a picture of the power of prayer. Yeah. And then with the rain, Lord, you even said you were going to send rain. But Elijah prayed and he kept praying. Yeah. And until that rain came, he was persistent. And then with the church, they had gathered to pray specifically for Peter's deliverance. And they stayed up all night in prayer. And you did many miracles that night, sending that angel to deliver Peter. Oh, Father, help us to pray more. Lord, help us to pray persistently. And may we see mighty answers to prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.